Hello and welcome to a new episode of Dead Man's Chest. I'm Neil and I'm joined, as always, with Becky.
Hi!
And tonight's episode is a bit of a kind of a special episode, I guess. We're going to be talking about the absolute money-making machine that is Pixar. And we've each picked a couple of films each to talk about, and we'll talk a little bit about Pixar and how they came to be as well, I think.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But I just want to say, next week we might actually have a recent film to talk about.
Yes.
Because you had a delivery today.
I did have a delivery today, and it was JJ Rabbit.
Yeah.
Now, I'm so excited to see this film. I've heard so many good things about it, and I didn't manage to catch it at the cinema.
No.
Because it was on at the wrong time.
I don't think it was here for very long either.
No, it wasn't here for very long, but you've got the likes of Rebel Wilson in there, Scarlett Johansson,
yeah,
Korg.
I mean, yeah, the guy who directed Thor Ragnarok, is it Takita?
Taika Waititi.
There we go.
There you go. I don't think
rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
You've got Stephen Merchant in there, Alfie Allen, who's Lily Allen's brother.
That's right.
The singer. So yeah, you've got a lot in there. I'm so looking forward to seeing this. And are you?
I've heard mixed things about it. I know people who love it, and I know people who don't like it at all. I'm of the opinion I'm looking forward to seeing it.
And me.
I remember seeing the trailers. It looked like an interesting film. It looked like a lot of fun in places as well.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about, just tying into last week's episode, which was about remakes and reboots and stuff. This past week, I've actually got around to watching the first two of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles films. I know they were redone more recently with Megan Fox, and I think it was Michael Bay that did them.
Well, obviously, Michael Bay, Megan Fox.
I know,
kind of ties in nicely with the Transformer films.
You just swap out Transformers for Turtles and you've got much the same thing.
Same thing.
But I was surprised just how well, I think, the first one especially has sort of stood up. I think it goes back to what we've said before. The turtles on the screen were actually there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was pre-CGI. And it was
the 80s.
Well, it would have been, I suppose.
Well, early 90s.
It was, I think it was 90, 91 possibly. Wow. 90, 91. I think. So, yeah, I mean, it's just guys in rubber suits. But they look.
They did look really cool.
There are some parts of it that looked and felt and
because
sounded
really dated. Because
when
you were watching it, I was like, yeah, that's why I didn't really get into the. I love the Turtles, don't get me wrong, but it's just not my kind of film.
No.
I mean, I grew up, obviously, maybe may have seen them at some point, or, you know, during my childhood, but wasn't. I think it's more of a boys kind of film, I think.
I definitely remember when the animated series came out, and I remember they had to change. The film was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and the cartoon was Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles.
Oh, was it?
Because they thought that the word ninja was a bit aggressive.
Okay.
So,
ninja!
Yeah. Had they ever watched the films, they'd have seen that these were the. It just wasn't. It was. It's almost pantomime violence in them.
It is, really.
Are half expecting somebody to get hit in the face with a custard pie.
Well, yeah.
But no, they are a lot of fun. Like I said, there's certain parts of them that haven't aged that brilliantly, but they definitely score big on the nostalgia.
Definitely.
Films. I haven't got around to watching the latest Turtles films.
You wanted to
films.
Watch the first three first, didn't you?
I wanted to get the originals out of the way first.
Then get more recent ones out.
The other films I've been watching sort of in bits and pieces, and over the past couple of, 5 or 6 weeks maybe, are the Underworld films. Now, I know you're not a Kate Beckinsale fan.
And I don't like the films.
You don't like the
I've
films.
I've seen them so many times that I know what's coming up.
They have given me an idea for maybe a future episode,
okay,
which I will talk to you about.
Thank you.
Off air.
That's most kind of
you. Yeah. Rule number one when presenting a podcast is always let your co-host know
what the hell's going on.
What right? You're going to be talking about.
Okay, that's fine.
So, I don't know if we've really seen that much.
No, it's been a bit of a quiet week this week because I don't know, one thing after another's happened and we haven't really watched that much TV.
You were very excited that you'd organised your Philip Glenister collection.
Yes, I was this morning. Yes, this morning before, because I had a bit of technical issue with work and everything with the remote access to my system. So I chronologically ordered my Philip Glenister collection from sort of early, obviously early to more recent in my cube.
Yeah.
So I was very proud of that, and I did send you a picture of that as well.
Yeah.
But so they're now in chronological order of when they actually came out.
Okay.
So, which is quite good for me because you know what I'm like with my organisation skills with my DVDs. I like them in a certain way.
Yeah.
And it's like the titles sort of go together and whatever, because we've had this discussion about the Marvel films as well, haven't we?
We have.
And I didn't like his order. But yeah, call me OCD. I don't care. But yeah, so my Philip Glenister collection is now in chronological order, which is very exciting.
If you like that sort of thing.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Although I can't laugh because I did sit for, a quarter of an hour yesterday and put all my Marvel films in order of release.
Oh, that's another film I've watched this week. Bellamy.
Yes.
I probably will be talking about it at some point. Okay. With Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
Really good.
This is he of Twilight and the new Batman.
Yeah, so think Kirsten Stewart. No, it's got Uma Thurman in it, Kristen Scott Thomas, so it's got some good names in it.
You don't really like Uma Thurman.
No, but she's all right in this.
Becky was quite late coming to Quentin Tarantino films.
Yes, very late actually.
And there's some you've really, really enjoyed, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
And I think Django, you kind of struggled a little bit.
I struggled with Django because, to me, it was very slow.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to get going.
But it does build to a Tarantino ending.
Good, because I like a Tarantino ending. But I love Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction. I know people will be screaming at me.
Yeah.
Because, oh my God, why haven't you watched this sooner?
Yeah.
I hadn't seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely loved it, didn't I?
Yeah.
And that's got Uma in it. So, you know, I am warming to her.
Tarantino's films are quite weird.
You don't know what's going on half the time.
Unless you're a fan of him. Unless you're a fan of him, it's almost like you won't come across them.
No.
And you need somebody to bring you into them.
Yeah, I think so. And I hadn't come across them, you know, earlier on in since I've been with you, that I've been introduced to Tarantino. And thank you for that.
Well,
I love him.
The one film or films I'm trying to get her to watch are the Kill Bill films.
Oh, dear.
They are magnificently over the top.
Even my sister said to watch them.
Yeah. But the sticking point at the moment is Uma Thurman.
I might get over that because she was all right in Bellamy, so it's
And you put up with her in Pulp Fiction.
I did put her up with her in Pulp Fiction. Yeah, she was a bit weird in that.
Yeah, anyway. Mia Wallace.
Huh?
Mia Wallace.
Yes.
Now, as I said, tonight's episode is focusing on Pixar, and it wasn't until I started looking into it to just realise how impressive an entity it is.
Yeah.
Now, excuse me while I pick my notes up and try and decipher my own handwriting. I swear I should be a doctor. Now, Pixar, when do you think it actually started?
Well, I can see.
You can see it. Boy, you ruined the show. Okay, so Pixar actually, as an entity, came into life in 1979.
Really? Wow.
Which is a lot longer further back than I thought it was.
Yeah, I thought it was more sort of late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm. Now, it was actually a part of Lucasfilm, George Lucas.
Hey.
It was a part of Lucasfilm Computer Division. Okay, so it wasn't even its own entity. It was just a subsection.
Just a subsection of Lucasfilm.
Now, it broke away and became its own thing in 1986.
Wow, I was two.
Yeah. With a little bit of help from Steve Jobs.
Oh, I like Steve.
Of Apple. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, they became the go-to place for this type of animation. Mm. Okay. They collaborated with Disney on several productions. Mm. Okay. The first one being Toy Story and those that followed. Toy Story 2 wasn't even supposed to be a cinematic release.
No?
Pixar were just going to do it and release it straight to video. And the two entities, Disney and Pixar, very nearly fell out and parted ways forever.
Yeah.
Over Toy Story 2.
Okay.
Now, Disney brought Pixar in 2006. So that means from Toy Story in 95 to probably Cars in 2006. So that's seven films.
Whoa.
Which we consider Disney Pixar films. They still weren't
affiliated.
They were, but Pixar were just being sort of contracted in.
Can't believe Toy Story's 1995.
I know, it's depressing, isn't it?
It's really old.
Disney paid pocket change, really, for Disney, a cool $7.4 billion.
Whoa!
To buy Pixar.
Oh my god, that's a crazy amount.
Serious money going on. They've got it back though, and some probably.
Probably, yeah.
Disney Pixar films have earned approximately $14 billion.
Whoa.
At the box office.
Well, of course, they've doubled their money, haven't they?
Yeah. They've completely broken every record you could imagine for an animation studios. They have won 20 Academy Awards, which is the Oscars. They have won 8 Golden Globes and 11 Grammys, among others.
Yeah.
They hold the record for 10... winners of the Academy Award for Best Animated Film. I won't go through the list, but there's some mighty films in there. They've also had 2 films, Up and Toy Story 3, nominated for Best Picture.
Wow.
They were actually the second and third animated films to be nominated for Best Picture. The first one being Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, I like Beauty and the Beast.
In 1991, which is depressing.
Very depressing.
They've got 3 films in the Billy Club, the $1 billion club at the box office. Finding Dory, Toy Story 4, and Incredibles 2.
Okay, interesting.
So each one of those cracked at the billion mark.
Whoa.
At the box office. They absolutely are
mad.
Immensely successful. Pixar could make a film about a tin of soup.
And it would do really well.
It would do really well and break your heart in the process.
Well, yeah. They do pack a punch, don't they? They do kick it where it hurts and now, expect you to pick up the pieces.
Your first film is part of what is referred to as a little sort of holy trinity.
Yeah.
Regards to Pixar. They smashed out 3 films, one after the other.
Yeah.
Which were just flawless, and I can't think of another studio that's ever done
it. No, I don't think so either. I mean,
this is filmmaking. This isn't just animation. This is
film.
This is filmmaking at its absolute best.
And it's Wall-E.
Yeah.
What I love Wall-E. Sorry, just went off on my own there. So yeah, it was released in 2008 because Toy Story 3 was it before then?
I think Toy Story 3 was the third of those 3 films.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
No. Oh, no, Wall-E was the first one.
Wall-E was in 2008.
So, yeah.
Up was 2009. And Toy Story 3 in 2010.
Okay, so I got that completely wrong. the budget for the film was $180 million.
Which is just peanuts for Disney.
Exactly. But they took out the box office $533.3 million.
Not a bad day's work, is it?
It's not a bad day's work at all. It's got an IMDb rating of 8.4, which I don't believe is quite the score for me.
For an animated film, it feels low, but compared with other films that you could say are probably a more serious tone, in reality, there's better films out there.
Well, no.
But if you move like the Pixar films and the recent animated ones like Shrek and the Despicable Me ones, if you group them all together and then said 8.4, you could say that's low.
Yeah.
But to compare it in sort of other films that are out there.
Okay, so I'm thinking wrong then.
No. Yeah, I mean
to me it's a 9.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely a 9 in my book. So, it's directed by Andrew Stanton. Now, he's the creators of Bug's Life, Finding Nemo, Finding Dory, and he co-wrote all 4 Toy Story films.
That's the other thing I noticed with Pixar is they usually have... It's usually the same core 6 or 7 people that are involved. How much would you want a job there?
I would just love, as you say, just collecting the mail or distributing the mail or making cups of tea.
I'd do it for free.
I would love it. I think it would be a great job, really.
Yeah, Pixar Studios, if you are listening,
please employ us.
Yes.
I would be most grateful.
Our bags are already packed.
We're ready to come over to Hollywood. And
we do not have coronavirus. We can start tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll start anytime you want us. And they won quite a few awards. I've just picked out the more famous ones. In 2008, they won a Golden Globe.
Okay.
For Best Feature Film. And in 2009, they won an Academy Award for the Best Feature Film.
Yeah. That'd be Best Animated, yeah?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, according to the Time list,
okay,
the magazine,
yeah,
it's on the list of the best movies of the decade.
Oh, I'll agree with that.
I would definitely agree with that because it's such a lovely film. It probably breaks me again.
Probably
like every Pixar film that's out there. We were actually talking about this today, weren't we? Saying which film hasn't broke me. In the Pixar collection.
Well, we were trying to decide which ones you can actually watch.
Yeah. I can't watch many. I think there's only about 3 I can actually sit down and watch because Up is completely out the question.
She refuses to go anywhere near Up.
Inside Out, I don't go anywhere. Coco, well, we just don't talk about that.
No. Toy Story 4 was a disaster at the end.
Is that even for you as well?
Yeah.
So the story...
Go for it.
Right, just a little sum up, because I suppose everybody's seen it, hopefully.
If they haven't, I'd love to know where they've been.
Yeah, exactly. So the story is, just like a little roundup, a machine responsible for cleaning up a waste-covered Earth meets another robot and falls in love with her. Together they set out on a journey that will alter the fate of mankind.
Oh, brilliant.
I think that sums it up nicely, actually.
He's probably...
He's a bit of an old romantic, isn't he, Wally?
He is. I mean, he's probably... I mean, there's not a lot of actual recognisable words there, is there?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
This isn't like some heavy Gone with the Wind-esque dialogue between the two.
It's Wally and
Eve.
Yeah,
but
Eva.
He's so emotive in how the and his head is just like a pair of binoculars. And how the hell do they do that?
I really don't know, but I would love him in my house.
I know.
He would be fantastic in our house, wouldn't he? But the bit that really stands out for me, and it's just a little moment in the film where Eva has met Wally.
Yeah.
And
is this after she's nearly killed him?
Yes, because he needs to be repaired.
Yes, because she
goes
hit
into
him.
He goes into his little house. With all bits and pieces that he's collected, bless him.
Yeah.
And there's this moment where he turns the TV on.
Yes.
And he projects it.
Yep.
And it's a clip from Hello Dolly with Michael Crawford, Barbara Streisand, someone else and someone else, mm-hmm. and they're singing Sunday Clothes, which is yes. one of the songs in the musical, and it's just a perfect, and he's just like crying,
mm-hmm.
and he's just like.
I think one of my favourite bits, and I know probably shouldn't laugh, but it's okay, is where she has got the plant
yes.
inside of her, and she's shut down, hasn't she?
Yeah.
And he tries to look after her.
Yeah.
And it's when they're on the roof of his container and it's raining, and he's got the umbrella to keep her dry, and it gets struck by lightning. So he gets another one, and that one gets struck by lightning. And it's only when she plays back the surveillance footage that she sees what he went through to look after her.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, there's so many lovely moments in the film, especially with Bernie as well.
Bernie,
the
repairer,
the mechanic.
Yeah, and the cleaning bot.
Yes,
which basically has some sort of breakdown by the end.
Yes, he does.
You've got this little thing that's basically a robot vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, basically.
And all it's doing is chasing Wally around the ship.
It's like with any Pixar film, there is a signature throughout every film, isn't there? Like,
there
you
is.
Know it's a Pixar film. You know, not just because you know it's a Pixar film, but if you just randomly put it on and nobody had seen one before, you know.
My other favourite bit is where we meet the robots on board the ship.
Mm.
That have gone a bit wrong, because yes. they're in a special
they're unit.
In a special bit, aren't they?
Yeah,
and they're all it's this one that's just a parasail, isn't it? It's like a big umbrella that just keeps yeah. flapping up and yeah. down, and yeah. and they break out. Wally, as always, is he's very innocent, but he causes a lot of trouble for somebody who's very innocent.
He does cause a lot of trouble, but no, it's just such a lovely film. Because Pixar are very good at putting on the heartstrings, as we've mentioned.
They are,
before.
And I think this is the best example of they don't even need words to do it.
No, it's even beeps and bops. And
that'll do.
That will do, and you kind of know what they're kind of saying to each other.
Yeah.
And
then, of course,
you know.
There's the infamous, or famous, I guess, the space dance.
Yes.
Which is just stunning.
Yeah.
Where Wally's floating around with a fire
extinguisher.
Yes. Eve can fly, so she's all right.
Poor Wally can't, because he's just been catapulted from a pod.
But again, it's just a stunning piece of film.
It is, and you know, I can't talk about it for too long because I just run out of words, basically, because it's so beautifully done. You know, it's basically.
I can't think. There's so many little moments in it. I mean, when Eve first gets to Earth and Wally's sort of following her.
Yeah.
And doesn't he get taken out by a load of shopping trolleys?
Yes, he does, because he's just so overcome with love, I think.
Yeah.
Love, it's that love at first sight.
Yeah. And then there's a bit, of course, where she nearly blows him to smithereens.
Yeah.
And,
of course, not at all.
Because her right arm doubles as basically a cannon.
Well, yeah, basically.
And she hears the noise behind her and she turns and fires. And then when it cuts, Wally is hiding behind what's left of this rock.
Yeah.
And he's actually trembling, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
this is lovely. I would go and see it if you haven't seen it. Go for it.
I mean, if it came out again at the cinema, I think it would probably take as much money as it did first time
Even
around.
More. I think it's just beautiful.
And like we said, it's one of the fabled trinity.
Yeah,
that Pixar managed to smash them out of the water. Of those three films, because I think that's the only one between the two of us that's in that trinity.
Yeah.
Of those three, so Wall-E, Up, and Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
Which one would you say makes you cry the most?
Up.
Up. Yeah.
You know it does.
Oh, yeah.
That 15-minute bit at the beginning, and I will quote this till the cows come home, is the most beautifully written love story
mm-hmm.
ever to be told on film. It is stunning. It really is. You mm-hmm. see the highs, you see the lows, and oh, don't, because I'm going to start. This is how it affects me. even if I start talking about it, I tear up. So
I know somebody through work who he's, and I won't go into names or places or whatever because that's not fair, but this guy is, if anyone's going to say anything inappropriate, it's him. And I remember once, excuse me, he came into work on the Monday morning and he said hello and he asked, you know, the normal stuff, you know, did you have a good weekend, etc. And I said, yeah, had a good weekend. I went to the cinema. And he asked me what I'd seen. And it was the weekend we saw Coco.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, Coco.
So I told him, I said, yeah, I went to the cinema and I saw Coco. And he was like, is that the new Pixar one? And I says, yeah. And he was like, I'm not going near it. And he said after, he says, Up absolutely broke him in half. Yeah. And he says, after that, he says, I can't go near them.
No.
And he was just the most unexpected person to say that, you know, as loud as he is and as brash as he can be, that he just will not go near a Pixar film because of what Up did to him.
Yeah. I can totally agree with that because, yeah, basically, that's all I've got to say, really. I mean, Toy Story 4, wow, that was a bit of a kick in the guts at the end, but no spoilers.
We won't go into that because there might still be people, but yeah, it was that kind of moment of, what the hell's going on? Hang on a minute.
It's like, shit, Buzz.
The hell are you talking about, Buzz?
Say what?
and Spanish Buzz.
Spanish Buzz.
They that's the other thing, they just write these little things nuggets, into a character.
These little golden nuggets.
And it's something you wouldn't think about. I mean, yeah, Buzz Lightyear is a toy. And a toy is going to be released everywhere.
Of course,
so, of course, there is going to be
a Spanish Buzz.
A different language setting. You know, we haven't thought of that, but maybe that's why we don't work for Pixar.
That's maybe why, yeah.
No imagination at all.
I'm sure if we started working there, we'd come up with loads of stories.
I know. None as good as Spanish Buzz, though. And it's just the bit in it where, because it's, what's her name?
What, Jessie? You don't know her name?
I forget. Where she says to Woody, you know, it's okay, I know about Buzz's Spanish setting. And Buzz is like, my what? He's got like, no idea.
A Spanish setting?
He's got no idea that it's there. He's like, my what?
So what offering do you have, Neil?
My first one is one, it's criminally, I think, it's not one of the sort of better known ones.
No, it's not, actually.
And it's a very different feel and look to what you would consider to be a Pixar film. Mm-hmm. And it's 2012 and it's Brave.
Oh, Brave. Merida.
Yeah. Directed by a duo, Mark Andrews and Brenda Chapman. And they do pop up on various other credits of other films. Yeah, yeah. To keep that Pixar tradition. Huge budget, $185
million. Wow.
Must be nice being Disney.
Just, oh, yeah. Just
how much do you want? You know, have that? Yeah, yeah. Bring me receipts.
Don't think they need receipts.
Box office... Didn't
do fantastically, did it?
Didn't do fantastic, but
enough.
It took enough. I mean, no. If I'm going to offer you $540 million, you're not going to turn it down.
Well, no, not really. No, so, be rude not to. Really.
Yeah, it got its money back, and some.
Yeah,
but I don't know what it is about this one that people didn't take to.
See, I don't know. No. I mean, I only recently saw it. Have you recently seen this one?
I mean, Brave is Pixar's first throw, really, and only throw, really, as to having a princess.
Well, yeah, really. Because they didn't really have any princesses within the set, really.
No.
So this is your
This is almost
like a princess film.
This is almost a Disney princess kind of film.
Yeah, which has which gives it that different feel to a Pixar.
And maybe that's where it sort of falters, is that it's ever so slightly more Disney than it is Pixar.
Yeah, so maybe they didn't quite bridge that gap properly, yeah. If you know what I mean. I mean, she's sassy, you know.
She is, and it follows the story of a young Highland girl, Merida.
Yeah.
Who...
Princess.
She is a princess. She's... She finds that she's in an arranged marriage, doesn't yes. she? Between the clans. This all takes place in Scotland. And the wedding is to cement the allegiance between the clans.
Yeah.
She doesn't take too kindly to it, does she?
No. oh, no.
She is, among other things, apart from very, very sassy, she is one hell of an archer.
She is. She's amazing.
During the archery competition between her suitors,
yes,
she shows them all right up, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does, definitely.
She even does the Robin Hood trick of firing an arrow down an arrow and splitting it.
Yeah.
Much
she's
to the,
that good. You know?
Much to the annoyance of her mother.
Yes.
Now, this causes a huge fallout, and she finds a witch, doesn't she, in the forest, who is the most ditzy witch in the world, with haunted brooms and bowls and everything that just keep moving around.
Yeah.
The witch, brilliantly, is voiced by Julie Walters.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I had to... I knew yeah. I knew who it was. So she says that she wants to change her mother, doesn't she?
Yes.
But,
but not quite the way it turns out.
It's taken very literal.
It is taken very literal.
The witch makes her a cake mm-hmm. and says, get your mother to eat this and it will change her. And true enough...
My God, it does.
True enough, it does change her. It turns her mother and inadvertently her three brothers as well.
Yes. into a
bear.
Yes, a bear.
Which is... a massive problem, because her dad, voiced by the ever-brilliant Billy Connolly, lost his leg to a bear attack.
Yes, the dreaded
Mordu.
Yes.
It probably sounds more impressive with a Scottish accent.
Yeah.
Now, the film then follows the story of getting her mother turned back into her mother, before she becomes completely...
Yeah, exactly. And she realises that she wasn't all that bad.
And again, it's that same thing where they don't necessarily need language to communicate.
No, you kind of get...
Because you get a very definite story of what the mother, even as a bear, is trying to say.
Yeah,
you know, and again the emotion that we saw what they did with Wall-E, and he's just a pair of binoculars.
Yeah,
you know, the bear's got an actual face with a mouth and eyes and everything, so they could really go to town with the emotion.
And I like the fact that sort of as you're on Brave, Ralph Breaks the Internet, which is a Disney film. It has the most awesome princess rescue.
It does.
Ever.
Now,
right.
Just...
But there is. You have all the Disney princesses.
There's a little bit of bullying going on.
There
isn't
is there? A little bit of bullying because we have all the Disney princesses like Elsa, Snow White, Cinderella, Pocahontas, Mulan.
They're all there, aren't they?
They're all there. And basically, Belle. And then there's Merida.
Yeah.
She's from the other studio.
Yeah, because the character Vanellope, yeah, she's with all these princesses, and Merida, yeah, says something, but it's really heavily accented in
Scottish.
And Vanellope sort of just looks blankly at her, and then one of the other princesses says to her, "It's okay, we don't understand her either."
She's from the other studio.
And then it's one of the others that goes, "She's from the other studio." And I'm like, I'm not sure you can have that in a Disney film.
No.
I'm calling the referee on that one. That's...
Yeah. But it's just that reference to the other studio.
I know.
Which is quite cool. Sorry for interrupting.
That's all right. I'd actually forgotten that. And that is another one that I always wanted the Wreck-It Ralph films to be Pixar films.
It kind of had the Pixar-esque to it, didn't it? But they were Disney films, but they were fantastic.
They are.
That could be another episode.
There are, again, there's a lot of funny moments in this film. But quite often they're happening in the background. And that's mainly because, I think, of the three brothers. Now, these, the three brothers, they're a lot younger than Merida, aren't they?
Well, yeah, they are.
Now, they were little bastards when they were human.
Yes, they're even worse when they're bears.
They ate the cake as well.
Yeah. So,
they all turn into little bears.
Yes.
And they're even worse.
I know.
So there's a lot of, especially when it's like in and around the castle where, you know, Merida lives. My advice would be to keep your eye on what's going on in the background, because a lot of the times these three are very definitely up to no good. There is quite a nice moment as well, because obviously we're going to have the sort of second showdown with Mordu, which is the bad bear. And we learn that that's what happened to him. He got turned into a bear. He was a young prince. He was power hungry. And all he did was he lost his humanity and he just became the bear.
Of course.
And there's a bit where he's defeated and his sort of spirit becomes human again. And he sort of says sort of like a sort of thank you to Merida for setting him free. And there's nice, really nice touching moments of that. And then in the, there's a moment where we think we've lost her mom, don't we?
She's a bit too late, isn't it?
They're so clever with their detail in, up until that point, that her mum's eyes, even as a bear, looked humanised. But there is a moment where they just roll over black, like a bear's eyes would be. And you're left thinking, it's too late, it's gone.
Yeah, exactly. And then she...
And it's not beyond Pixar to do that to you.
No.
You know, we've seen plenty of films where they've just taken everything away from you and left you sobbing. Also, that just reminded me, the three suitors who come from three different clans, when Merida decides she's not going to marry any of them, it all erupts into a big fight. And they're fighting for days. In the banquet hall. And there's upturned tables and arrows and everything. And there is a bit before all the trouble sort of kicks off. They're already fighting. But Merida's mom, who's voiced by Emma Thompson, just walks through and they all stop and sort of try and behave themselves until she's out of sight and out of earshot, and then it all kicks off again. I love it because it's almost on its own in the Pixar lineup. There's no other film that feels like this one.
No. It doesn't actually.
And maybe that is because it is ever so slightly more Disney than it is Pixar.
I would say that as well. As it's sort of a princess film, I would determine it.
And it is that Disney-esque kind of quest kind of film, isn't it?
But I don't think it's bad that Pixar have done that. They've sort of tested the water with it.
But
it hasn't really worked out, but they still got a good, you know, turnover. You know, they've obviously tested the water with it. That was their test piece. And unfortunately, it didn't really pay off. But it's still a lovely film.
It's still... I mean, we're working with a completely different scale here, because a bad Pixar film is still better than a bad any other kind of film.
Yeah, definitely.
I think Pixar and Marvel... The Marvel Universe is much the same, I think. The Pixar films, there's very definitely a tier. There's the really good, you know, and we're talking, you know, probably the Toy Stories, the Finding Nemo, you know, the really big hitters. And then you've got some which are, I mean, rightly or wrongly, nearer the bottom. So probably Cars are probably the least successful.
It's like the Marvel films, like you said, there's good Marvel films and there's bad ones.
not, I wouldn't say bad.
No, just, I mean, I didn't mean not bad, as, just but not as good. As good as,
yeah, there's,
you know,
there's good and there's not as good.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean bad.
Yeah.
Get, like, slaughtered now.
And it's just a shame that Brave, I mean, I love the character Merida.
Yeah.
Because she is so, she's not taking anyone's shit.
Oh, no, no, she's one sassy little thing, isn't she? She's very strong-willed.
Yeah. And it's well worth a watch. If you've missed it, or because it's not that well known, perhaps, and it just sort of escaped you, maybe, definitely worth looking
up.
Oh,
yeah, definitely.
If you've got Disney Plus, it's almost certainly on there.
It definitely
probably.
Certainly on there, yeah.
So it is very
definitely on there.
Very definitely worth a couple of hours of your life.
Yeah, of course it is.
7.1 on the IMDb.
That's not bad. I would probably give it that.
I'd go that 7.5 maybe for trying something different for a Pixar film. It's also got the very brilliant Robbie Coltrane in it.
Oh, who is he?
He is one of the
fathers
of,
right,
of,
okay,
of,
yeah,
in the clans.
So you've got some good names going on there.
Robbie Coltrane, for if you're not too sure, he would have been Hagrid in the Harry
Potter,
Potter films. Probably best known for that.
Yeah.
Yes. 7.1, yeah, feels kind of low. I'd go 7.5.
Yeah, 7.5-ish. Yeah, probably wouldn't go any higher than that. But still a good watch.
Yeah.
Definitely still a good watch.
Really, really good. And we watched it quite recently, didn't we?
Yeah,
and
watched it a couple of months ago.
I think it was for Burns Night.
Yes, I think it was, actually. There you go.
There we go. It was as Scottish a film as we could find. Because I couldn't find Trainspotted.
It's right in front of us.
I know. So, yeah. Look it up. We will be back in a couple of minutes. We're just going to take a very little break. So, we're back.
Yeah.
And Becky, your second film is much like Brave in that it kind of fell under the radar a little bit.
I think it did. It's called The Good Dinosaur.
Yeah.
Now, this is a lovely film. I watched this on Friday.
And this was your first time?
This was my first time to watching it because I thought, well, I haven't seen that one. So I thought, well, I don't know, I'll review it.
Yeah.
And see what goes, you know, go with the flow. So it was released in 2015.
Oh, God. Can time just stop?
I know.
Just stop a minute. Just give me a minute.
It had a big budget on this, $175 million.
That's sort of standard, isn't it?
Well, yeah, really. Yeah, well, yeah, I suppose it is. I'm just like looking at yours. Yeah. But the... like Brave, it kind of fell at the cinema a little bit.
Yeah.
It only made $332.2 million.
Yeah.
I mean,
Again. You're not going to turn that away.
I'm not. No, exactly. So it was one of their, I would say, under the same category as Brave. Am I going? Am I being brave with that?
Yeah.
See what I did there?
It's almost like there's not, as far as I can remember, and you've seen it a lot more recently than I have. There's not a lot wrong.
No, there isn't a lot wrong with it at all.
It's just that it seems no one went to see it.
No. Maybe it just wasn't promoted as much and things like that. It was directed by Peter Son, I think. He made his directorial...
Directorial?
That's the one. Of Partly Cloudy. Now, that's a little Pixar short.
It is.
Is it the Partly Cloudy with the clouds that are making the babies?
No, I think that's...
I think that is Partly Cloudy.
Yes, I think it might be.
On Disney Plus, basically there's like clouds which deliver babies, like with the stork and everything.
Yeah.
But there's this one cloud
that makes
dangerous
stuff.
Things like sharks and crocodiles and the poor stork at the end of it. So anyway, diverging.
So that was him.
That was him. Okay. Yeah. The character of Russell in Up was based on this guy.
Okay.
He's done a lot of voiceovers as well.
Russell
and
is the Boy Scout, isn't he?
Boy Scout. Yeah. Yes. He was based on this. Obviously, this is part of the Pixar team.
Yeah.
He's done voiceovers. He's done a lot of post production and production of Pixar films as well. So, on all the ones coming, but this was his his debut.
My understanding is with Pixar is people go to work there when they're like 20, and they're there until they die.
Yes,
so don't, I've never once seen vacancies advertised for Pixar.
No, not really. It's a very specialist area.
They get a new employee once every 10 years. Yes. Since when someone died.
Yeah. So basically, I'll just give you a little summary of the story. A rainstorm separates Arlo, a young Aspratosaurus, from his family.
Okay.
He befriends Spot, a feral child.
Yep.
Who helps him reunite with his family.
Yeah. Now, this is... It sort of plays, doesn't it? The meteor that wiped out the dinosaurs.
It missed.
And there is a bit, isn't there, where you see it just whistles past in the sky and all the dinosaurs...
And it's just like a shooting star.
Yeah, all the dinosaurs literally look up as if to say, what was that?
Okay.
And then they just go back to eating.
And then they go eating again. So Arlo, and he's the scaredy cat of the siblings. There's three siblings. There's Libby, is it Buck? Arlo.
Yeah.
Arlo's the one who was a little bit scared.
He's the youngest.
He was a little bit scared to get out of his shell. And basically, on the silo where they keep all their food, it keeps going missing.
Yes.
And they don't know who's taking it. So basically, they put their paw print.
It's when they come of age, isn't it?
Yeah. When they've made their mark.
Yeah.
They put their mark on the silo.
That's right.
And Arlo's the last one, bless him, to put his mark on there. So Arlo's tasked with catching this critter.
Yes.
And he gets the trap. They set up a trap and the critter gets in the trap and it's like a caveman baby.
Yes.
Who's been separated from his family. So he's very, very wild. That again, there isn't a lot of dialogue in this.
No.
As well, but you just go with it. It's one of those stories. You know what's going on. You know what's happening. So after a storm, because they lose the spot.
Yes.
The child.
Yeah.
And then they go up the mountains, and Arlo falls down and hurts himself. And his dad's like, come on. And then he tries to save Arlo, but he gets killed in the process.
He gets...
With a flash flood.
A flood that catches him.
So, so that's obviously very devastating. So they go back to the farm where they live. And his mum's like, well, you've got to step up now and help. And then for some reason he goes off. And I can't remember why now. And I only watched this on Friday. And he gets cut off.
He does. He gets lost, doesn't he?
He gets lost. And then he finds Spot. And then they sort of go on this sort of journey together.
Mm-hmm.
They get attacked by, the flappy...
Pterodactyls.
That's the ones. and everything. And then towards the end of the film... They like howling, is all I can say. and then Spot gets a reply, and in the distance there is his dad. So basically, there was a few moments in this where I cried as well, and I had to have ice cream.
I had the text messages, something along the lines of, "You didn't warn me."
I should have watched this with you.
Yeah.
I need a hug, basically.
As I remember it, it's at its core, it's very definitely a coming of age.
Oh,
film.
definitely coming of age film. It's such a lovely one. I mean, IMDb rating is only 6.7, which I would say it was probably at a 7. So I would go a little bit higher than that. Yeah, I think it's a roundabout right mark for it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just want something, you're not going to... I'm not saying you're going to waste 2 hours of your life watching it's great.
Again,
but,
there's nothing wrong with it.
There isn't anything wrong with it.
Did you... As I remember it, because it's been a little while since I've seen it, did you find it felt in places it had that Lion King feel. That the father dies, the son is cut off for whatever reason.
I suppose.
And when he comes back, he's grown into himself.
I was actually watching, I didn't actually think about The Lion King whatsoever. No. I completely forgot about it.
Do you see it?
But I can see it, yeah. Definitely. Because when it's definitely got a Lion King-esque to it.
When he comes back to his family, he's not the baby anymore.
No, he's grown. He's a dinosaur, you know? Yeah.
He's grown. And yeah. I think there is quite a choking moment where he puts his mark
next to his dad's.
On the silo, yeah. Next to his dad's. And it is quite a moment, isn't
it? Yeah, it is very much
I can imagine, because I wasn't with you when you watched it, so I imagine there was tears at that point.
There was 3 points in the film where he got cut off.
So there was that point and many others.
No, there was actually 4, I think. There was one when his dad died, obviously. One when he got cut off. When Arlo was trying to explain family to Spot.
Okay.
As well, with the sticks. Right. That's really cute. And then he draws a circle around the stick saying, that's family.
Yeah.
And he gets it. And then the 4th time was when Spot went off with his family and Arlo let him go. Because literally Arlo was nearly home by that point. So he kind of just went, no, you need to go with your family.
Yeah.
Basically was nudging him and everything. I was just like, don't, because I'm going to cry again. And I'm going to cry now as well. Very emotional this evening. So yeah, I would definitely give it a watch.
Again, it's like we said, it's a bit like... film. It's a bit like Brave. It sort of fell under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, it did.
I'll just have a look, actually, what came out by it. Because sometimes they get swallowed up. See, it came out after
Inside Out,
which was huge.
Yeah.
And then after it, there was Finding Dory.
I mean, come on. He didn't stand a chance.
It's not hard to see that it got forgotten.
It did get a little bit forgotten about.
By... no fault of its own, but
with any Pixar film, that they are really easy to watch. And I think if you're looking for something easy to watch, a little bit of fun and a little bit of drama in it, and a bit tear-jerky, and I think it's they're awesome.
Pixar seem to make... it's hard to explain. They make films for children that adults would enjoy.
Yeah.
And they do it so well.
Mm.
I mean, some of their films there's an incredibly dark streak that runs through some of their films.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But you don't necessarily see it.
No.
But, you know, like The Incredibles, there are some very dark moments.
And Inside Out, because Inside that's Out dealing with emotion. So that's like...
exactly.
You've even got a... sad.
I know. There's some manic depressive.
Very manic depressive Inside Out. That's pretty heavy going for, you know, a film, a kid's film, if you know what I mean.
I very nearly did Inside Out for this show.
Oh, did you? I liked Inside Out.
You cried.
I cried. Yeah, that's why I like it. If a film makes me cry, guaranteed it's a winner in my book. So I know that's how to put order, but, or death.
Or like deaths as well. The more deaths, the merrier.
What was I watching today? Oh,
Poirot.
Hercule Poirot. There was 3. I was quite happy with that.
3 deaths in an hour. It's like all the Christmases have come at once.
It was an hour and a half episode. Okay. So I was like, well, hey.
But no, they seem to be able to do that.
Mm.
Pixar can... like we saw... Pixar could make a Disney film like they did with Brave, but I don't think Disney could make a Pixar film. I just don't think... Disney are brilliant with their classics.
Yeah, but some of their live actions are quite dark. Like Alice in Wonderland, that's very dark.
It's very psychedelic.
It is. Christopher Robin, we've touched on. That's quite dark.
In Place, yeah.
Jumbo, even.
Again.
Jungle Book.
Yeah.
What else? I'm just trying to think. Probably Alice Through the Looking Glass as well. Maleficent's quite dark in places as well.
It is. Yeah.
I mean, Lion King, you thought that was more terrifying than the original in live action terms. Was that my dad who said that? I think my dad said the live action Lion King was more terrifying than the original, which I kind of believe him in a way, because it was a bit more darker.
You haven't got the safety barrier of
cartoon,
of the animation.
Yeah.
You know. So sorry, it's right now it's 9:25 at night, and in the field opposite us, there's a tractor's just fired up.
Yeah, with the lights on and everything.
It's a bit of nighttime gardening.
And we're just like, what?
At least I hope it's a tractor and nothing's just landed.
Not like an alien or something.
Yeah.
ET's coming. Sorry about that. We got a little bit distracted by the light there. But anyway.
Honestly.
But no, really good film. Definitely recommend you watching it.
And again, like I said, it is one of those that sort of fell under the radar a little bit. And maybe it did get swallowed up by the films that came out either side of it.
Definitely.
So maybe didn't quite get the exposure that it perhaps deserved.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good.
Again, it's there to buy. It's almost certainly on Disney Plus.
Yeah, probably.
And it's not a terrible way to spend an hour and a half.
I know we rave about Disney Plus, but it is absolutely fantastic. You get everything on there. It's, I mean, I can't think any more about raving about the little shorts that Pixar do. There's a section on Disney Plus, Neil, that's just Pixar, and everything's on there. And the shorts are amazing. I just love the little shorts.
Including Forky.
Yeah. He asks us all the questions.
He does.
Not necessarily
correctly, but he does ask them.
But he asks them, and he doesn't quite understand, and the tractor's coming back now with the lights on. But anyway, what's yours, Neil?
Okay, so my film is definitely a forgotten one.
Yes.
And like I was saying about films getting swallowed up by other films, my film tonight is... my second film is A Bug's Life.
Cool.
Now, this came out in 1998.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Now, I'm just going to sort of sidestep a little bit here. Now, in 1995, Toy Story came out.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Toy Story, for me, was one of those films that... It wasn't just a blockbuster. It was a super blockbuster.
Yeah.
It changed film. They happen every now and again.
Mm.
You know, you get these films that are sort of landmark films. And I will say that Toy Story is one of them. And when you think, like, adventure films and stuff were never the same after Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings changed the game.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The Matrix changed action films. Mm. You know, you get... Every now and again, a film that changes everything. Toy Story was one of those films. And it wasn't just a blockbuster. It was a continental shift.
Yes.
Okay? And I remember Toy Story coming out. And it was huge.
It was very huge. I remember it as well.
And I think that wave just carried on going.
Yeah.
And
I think we were at the right age to understand Toy Story as
and
well.
And even though... A Bug's Life came out 3 years after.
Mm.
I think we were already caught up in the hype for Toy Story 2.
Yeah. So it kind of, again, maybe fell under the radar.
We were coming off one wave, which was Toy Story, and then we sort of jumped onto another one, which was the excitement for Toy Story 2. And A Bug's Life got lost in the middle. I think if A Bug's Life had come out first, I think it would be a lot more well known.
Yeah. I mean, when these films did come out, I mean, when Toy Story came out, I was in year six. So I was in the last year of junior school there.
Okay.
Going into my last year of junior school. So I think the age that we were then...
Yeah.
We had a better appreciation of it.
I think so.
Because when we look back on it now... We go, oh my God, I was like 10.
Yeah.
I was going to be 11.
Yeah.
So, you know, and A Bug's Life was all those top three are our childhood films, basically, yeah. aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just to give you that early order, I mean, Toy Story in 95, A Bug's Life in 98, Toy Story 2 in 99, then there's sort of a little break to Monsters, Inc., which was in 2001. And yet, you can see the pattern. They were really finding their momentum. And by sort of their fifth film, which was Finding Nemo in 2003,
yeah.
they got their proper next big hitter. Because yeah. Finding Nemo was that Toy Story effect. It just
yeah,
was
exactly.
huge.
So, I think that we've had a fantastic childhood with those films.
I mean,
we?
I look at the we list and do. I look at the list and there's not one bad film.
No, there isn't, is there?
I mean, the Cars films, yeah, they're not...
I like them. There's something about them I really yeah. like.
But again, they're not bad films at all. There's just other films on that list which are better.
Better, yeah.
But that's not to say that the Cars films are bad. But anyway, A Bug's Life. Like I said last week, actually, it's actually a little remake of The Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, you said, yeah.
It focuses on an ant colony.
Yep.
And our protagonist, if you like, is... I think his name's Flick.
Yes.
And each year, the ants have to have a...
quota?
A quota of of corn and food. For the locusts that rock up every now and again, one of who's voiced by Kevin Spacey.
Cool, yep. Of course. We have to have Kevin Spacey in there somewhere.
And they turn up and steal all the food. Well, that's their quota. That's what they're owed, apparently. Now,
it's like rent.
Flick decides that he's going to go off and try and save his colony from this arrangement. And he comes across... Now, they are actually circus insects.
Oh, yes. I remember this now.
Yeah. But he thinks they're... Somehow they are warriors.
Yeah. Yes!
So, he somehow convinces them to come back to where he lives. Yeah. And they are going to save them.
Protect them from the...
From the locusts.
From the locusts.
They manage it. In a
fashion.
Roundabout way, they end up creating a bird, don't they? They make a...
Yes, they do. Yeah, I remember this now.
But
just talking about it, springing back it.
But again, their characters... I mean, how do you make a caterpillar lovable?
I know.
You know.
Exactly.
And then there's the spider.
There's a ladybird.
There's a ladybird who's... a real misery ass.
Yeah, isn't he a guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, you don't expect him to sound like that.
He's like, he's a very early rendition of anger in
yeah,
Inside
yes,
Out.
Yes, it is.
He's
actually.
A very early version
very angry.
Of that. But yeah, they're circus performers, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they somehow get convinced to come and save the colony.
Yeah, I don't think I cried in A Bug's Life.
I bet you did.
But I haven't watched it since 1998. So I don't know. Could have all changed by then.
But again, there are so many little moments in it. Of course, there's... in all the Pixar films, there is always a nod to other Pixar films.
Yeah.
Whether it's a toy from Toy Story that's on the floor somewhere in one of the other films.
Yeah.
Or I think in this one, it's... There's the Pizza Planet truck.
Oh, okay.
I think it's parked up somewhere. And you go, yeah, that's from Toy Story.
I might have to get that one back out again. Have a watch of it.
And even things that happen in real life, because you've got there's somewhere that has got one of the electric lights that are supposed to attract flies and
oh,
stuff.
Oh yes, yeah.
And there's one where it just picks up on this fly. He's a moth or something. And he's going towards it, going, "It's so pretty." And you've got his friend trying to hold him back. Like, go, no, 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 no. Yeah, just tiny little things. Just little
that's
details.
That's what Pixar are so great at, those little details everywhere, isn't it?
They're definitely films that you can watch
again and again.
Probably
and again.
Two or three times.
But the thing is, with Pixar as well, when you go back to, say, Toy Story.
Yeah.
They don't look dated.
No, you can definitely see where animation has moved on.
Yeah, but it's not that big a change. It's not that big a difference.
I don't know if it's that noticeable when you watch them one at a time. But I wonder if you watched Toy Story and Toy Story 4 side by side. I think you'd see it then.
But I think if you're watching them,
because you've got a gap there of 20 plus years, nearly 30 years.
Well, yeah, I know that. But I'm just saying that they still look really nice. They're not. You know how some animations, like, right, Disney, right?
Yeah.
You can really tell the earlier films.
Yeah.
To the newer ones, because they, you know, that's a bigger jump. I mean, I know they started in 1940 something or 30 something.
Yeah.
But still, you can see the difference. But with Pixar, that's probably because they're relatively new to Disney.
Yeah.
Then they're gonna look a lot fresher.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
I'm just trying to find there. The budget for this film was the standard. Almost.
Whoa.
120 million.
Okay.
But bear in mind, this is...
That was 98.
This is 98. This is like 22 years ago. So that's a hell of a budget. And it took 363.3 million. But again, that's 20 odd years ago. Okay, so you sort of convert that, you're probably looking at maybe 4.5 million. That it took at the box office,
yeah,
give or take, with inflation,
yeah.
So it didn't do terrible.
No, it didn't.
Just because it got sandwiched between the Toy Stories,
it's like, you know,
it got forgotten and sort of overtaken.
Mm.
But that by no means is it a bad film. I don't know what its rating is on IMDb. I didn't look that
Would
up.
Would you like me to look it up?
If you wouldn't mind. But I think I'd give it a solid.
I'd give it a solid
7.5.
7.5, yeah. Let's have a look. See what's going on.
I feel that I should be whistling or playing a tune. Like some sort of game show.
Yeah. Hi. Here we go. I think.
I'm trying to think if I could pick a favourite Pixar film.
7.2.
7.2, that's not...
That's not bad. I would say 7.5. Give it a good...
Just because it probably got treated terribly.
Probably, yeah, just to give it a little bit.
Just to make up for it.
Yeah, definitely. But no, I kind of agree with that, you know.
The two that we probably haven't mentioned, Onward, which we didn't make it to see.
No, we didn't.
But it is pre-ordered, so it should be with us in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
And there is another Pixar film that's spoiling us this year.
But will we get to see it? That's the only thing.
Well, fingers crossed it will be released, and it's a film called Soul.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing this.
Now, it looks to be one of their more... grown-up films,
yes,
if you like.
Yeah,
I mean, they do that every now and again.
They'll put sort of a grown-up-y one.
I mean,
in there.
I'd definitely say Coco was a grown-up one.
Yeah, I would say teens to adults. And I wouldn't say anything younger than that.
I would
that.
Say Inside Out is part of.
Yeah, I would even go as far as saying The Incredibles were
very definitely and Up.
And Up
definitely.
Don't mention Up.
just to touch on Inside Out again, the critics. At the time said that that film belongs with that threesome of Wall-E, Up and Toy. So it'd
be a quartet.
A holy quartet. Yeah.
Let's bring the angels out.
Yeah. It is. I don't know if I could pick my three favourites.
I don't know. It's tough. Wall-E would be one of them.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah. Just to have it, not to watch.
Yeah. And Coco.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah. Coco's lovely, except don't just sort of plug your ears when they say remember me and that's it.
Yeah, it's the minute you see a guitar, which is quite a lot of the film, to be fair. Just cover your
ears.
That's
probably why we liked it, because it's got a guitar in it, maybe. Because we both play, so it's all good. Sorry, I just thought I'd do a little plug.
available for weddings, birthdays and bar mitzvahs.
And funerals.
I don't know if I could pick three.
Well, I've done it, so you
can. I suppose I have to now. Right, I'm gonna go with Brave.
Right.
I'm going to go with Inside Out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go with another one that sort of snuck under the radar a little bit. Ratatouille.
Oh, yes. I forgot about Ratatouille.
Which, again, there's no dialogue between Remy and the I can't remember the person's name.
I can't remember.
We just remember the animal's name. Yeah, it's just some man.
Just some man, right. Random man.
But there's no dialogue between them.
No.
And yet, Pixar make it work.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they've got a script department.
I don't think. Yeah. I think we should go in the script department. I think it'd be amazing.
It's like, you can tell they're writing these films and they go, is there a script? And they go, we don't need a script. You go, yeah, fair enough. They are just brilliant. And every time there's a Pixar film announced, it's like, we need to see it. I need to own it.
Yeah, yeah.
When I moved from sort of DVD to Blu-ray, I didn't want to go through just replacing every DVD I'd got with the Blu-ray equivalent, because that'd be expensive and tedious. So my plan was to have collections.
Yeah. I remember this.
I wanted collections on Blu-ray. And the first collection I worked on was the Pixar films.
I remember that.
Because I thought, well, I can run them through a decent HDMI lead. I can show them on a decent television. They're going to look the biz.
Yeah, definitely.
And I've never been unhappy to watch a Pixar film.
Nor have I.
Even, like we said, even the ones that probably
break you in half.
Yeah. And the ones that probably aren't as good as others that have come out around them are still...
Mm.
I mean, Cars was good. I really did enjoy Cars. I didn't so much enjoy Cars 2.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've seen Cars 3.
But Cars 3 is a really... quite a tough film for this.
But I got my Friday night sorted. A Bug's Life and Cars 3. There you go.
There you are.
Sorted.
This is what she does while I'm at work.
Yes. Friday nights are my night. 55-inch TV, HDMI need. I'm happy.
You wouldn't believe it's actually my television.
Soundbar on, that's
soundbar, television on. That's it. She's happy. I get told off if I'm home on a Friday night. Because I'm ruining her plans.
Yeah.
So, there we are. I don't think anyone could do real justice to Pixar.
No.
I don't think there's enough plaudits for them.
No.
Because what they've done and what they carry on doing is just magic.
It is. It really is. It's definitely got... And I'm so glad it's part of the Disney family, because it's just such a, you know, a thrill to have.
I think it really is a marriage made in heaven, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think we'd have suffered too badly if Pixar and Disney had gone their separate...
I don't think we would have suffered, but it is nice to know that they're under that Disney umbrella.
Yes.
Along with, like, Star Wars and...
Marvel.
And us. National Geographic.
Yeah,
and
everything. Whatever.
So, you know, it's nice to have them. And to have the Disney Pixar.
Yeah.
It's really good. Because it does have that sort of Disney-esque magic to it.
I think up until sort of 2006, so I mean that's the first sort of six or seven films.
Mm.
I think it was always Disney and Pixar Studios, but after the merger, I think they were just Disney Pixar. yeah, and like I said, that there's been, hopefully that we're going to have two this year. We had Onward. The next one hopefully is Soul, and I just can't wait to see them. I mean, Onward is pre-ordered.
It has unicorns.
Yeah. Tell them about the unicorns, Becky.
Oh yeah, we went to the cinema obviously, and we saw a trailer for Onward.
Yep.
I thought, oh, there's unicorns, because unicorns are like my favourite.
Yep.
And they do not sound like donkeys. I'm sorry. Pixar, what have you done? Right, I was expecting harps of angel music coming out of their mouths, but they sounded like Bray and Donkey. And I was mortified.
Just rummaging through the bins.
You actually sounding like a donkey. And,
you actually,
you know,
saw part of Becky's soul die.
Pixar, what are you doing? You know, make them sound magical, because they are.
But no, I mean, whatever comes after,
it's going to be fantastic.
You know, I think they will always have films that get lost in between other films. That has happened right from the beginning.
It's like Disney as well. Some films get lost between other films and the Disneys, yeah. You know. It's...
I mean, we can say that A Bug's Life got swallowed up. I'd even say, really, that Ratatouille got forgotten.
Yeah,
because after Ratatouille, you had WALL-E.
So, yeah, because you had Cars first.
Yeah.
And then you had WALL-E, you know, sandwiched in there. Yeah. So
The Good Dinosaur, nothing wrong with that film, but it came out in between Inside Out and Finding Dory. I mean, it didn't stand a chance.
No.
Cars 3, again, not a bad film. Probably the best of the three.
And it got sandwiched between Finding Dory and Coco.
So that's always going to happen.
Of course it is.
But they're just because they didn't smash records at the box office and whatever, doesn't mean they're bad. And they're definitely worth a watch.
Definitely.
Next week.
You're going to chat to me about next week.
It's an idea for a show. Maybe not next week, because it might take a little bit of writing.
Oh, okay. Get my pen out then.
Yeah. And I'll try and figure out how to do it. But we'll be back next week.
Yeah, we will be.
Sort of have a talk in the next couple of days about what to do. And then we'll be all over Instagram and Twitter and everything else. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've just headbutted me, haven't you?
No, you headbutted me, actually.
Until then, look after yourselves.
Stay safe.
We will get through this COVID-19 nightmare. Things are looking better here. I know it's not the same everywhere else. But
things are looking a little bit more positive in Guernsey. We're starting to relax a little bit more.
Restrictions are starting to ease off a little bit. By no means are we at the end of it. We're just, you know, a little step closer to it, perhaps. But yes, we will get through it. And until we do,
we're here.
We'll be here. Get in touch on everything.
Please get in touch, because we love to hear from anybody. If there's any films you want to suggest, like we've always said, that you want us to have a look at, definitely give them a mention, and maybe, as Neil keeps on saying, that, you know, maybe we'll get featured in one of our shows.
That's it, because, you know, I mean, the idea of these early episodes of this podcast is really just to give you sort of ideas of what the hell to do with your time.
Yeah, definitely.
And let's face it, you're not listening to a film podcast if you don't like films.
Well, exactly, so, yeah. Mm.
You know, you've really shit out of luck if you're looking for advice on how to change the oil in your car. So yeah, get in touch if there's something you want us to have a closer look at. And like Beck said, it probably even make it onto the show, really.
Yeah.
Until then, we're going to keep churning out ideas. And yeah, hopefully, won't it be nice one day when we can actually review a film that came out like 3 days ago.
I know. I am so looking forward to going back to the cinema. I've missed it so much.
Basically given a move.
I mean,
in.
I miss it after a week of not going. So I know. To have, what, 6-7 weeks?
And the rest, I
and
think.
The rest, not to have it. It's horrible. And I've got vouchers.
It's been a long, old
vouchers
haul.
For the cinema. You do. But they've been extended to the end of the year, which has been lovely. So, yeah.
I think we'll have to. I mean, today's episode has sort of given me sort of ideas to sort of talk about a franchise, perhaps, as a whole. And sort of a couple of ideas, maybe.
Yeah.
For maybe in the future to sort of like do these like specials every now and again.
It's a good idea.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
But let us know if there's films you want us to have a look at, by all means get in touch. Like I said, look after yourselves and we will see you very soon. Bye for now.